This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All of your ears are belong to us.
You're tuned in to the 8 Days of Geek Podcast. This is episode 39, recorded Tuesday, August 16th, 2011. Mothra doesn't wear pants. You're listening to the 8 Days of Geek Podcast. No health food here, it's just junk food for your brain. I'm your host, Jesse Miller, the editor-in-chief of 8 Days of Geek, and joining me, as always, are the dynamic duo, senior editor Brandon Williams.
I'm wizarded it out.
And senior editor Rachel Lebo.
And I didn't wizard at all.
I'm whizzed. All right. With all the comic book news, I'm going to cut my tech section a little short. Big news. Huge news. This one caught me off guard. It came out of nowhere and really lit up the interwebs. Google has proposed a deal to buy none other than Motorola. Razer. What?
Just the Razer phone.
Just
that's
the Razer
phone. That's all
they
wanted from Motorola.
That's it. They just want the fiddly little flip phone.
Yes. Oh. A huge hit.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody had them, you know? So, anyway...
Are they going to call it the Grazer?
Wow. Yeah, that's horrible. That's bad. Anyway, now, see, a lot of people immediately think that they want Motorola specifically for the cell phones, and that is probably a large part of it. But you also have to understand that Motorola has several patents in the cable industry as well, and Google has Google TV, which is floundering at the moment. So this means a lot of different things all at once. Now, once again, it is kind of a deal, the same basic thing as T-Mobile and AT&T, where if the deal falls through, Google will pay a certain amount to Motorola no matter what. Now, I don't know, with all their recent success, if Motorola really needs that money, but hey, you know. So if the deal does fall through, Google has to cough up $2.5 billion, which is no small change. Exactly. Now, if the deal goes through, Google will be paying $12.5 billion to acquire Motorola Mobility. Now, this gives them control over almost 17,000 mobile-related patents. Google has been getting, well, Android in general has been getting sued and everything else because everyone, you know, Google never was in the patent game. They didn't buy any patents because they didn't figure they needed them. Well, now they're realizing they've got to get some patents. This is nice because I looked at Motorola phones and they look, I mean, they're getting better by far. I was never a huge Motorola fan. I did have a Razer and I didn't really like it the most. But if Google puts out the next Nexus phone as a Motorola and has control over the company that actually builds it, that's going to be a good thing. That's going to be really good news. So we'll just have to wait and...
This might make the Zoom 2 actually sell a couple.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a big thing because now Google will own part of a company that creates an Android tablet. So, I mean, this opens up a whole new can of worms. This is, as I like to say, the camel putting his head in the tent.
No. Stop it with that. You're beating it with a dead horse.
Anyway, but yeah, this is good news. I can't wait to see if this goes through. This is one of those mergers I think will benefit consumers deeply. Now, talking about patents and people suing other people, because you know what they always say, if you can't innovate, sue. Apple has been filing injunctions and getting suits all up in an uproar over Samsung and the Galaxy Tab, saying that it infringes on all their patents and it's a blatant patent infringement and blah, blah, blah. Well, in their case against Samsung, they actually got an infringement in several different places, such as Australia and the EU. Both of them, you can't buy the Galaxy Tab. They couldn't ship it there. Now, the thing is that people are starting to go over the information for the patent suit. And what's coming to light is the fact that some of the images that are in the suit are, they seem to be doctored. Not doctored in a literal sense, like, they changed a whole icon set to make, you know, some bad Photoshop job. Really, what it is that the iPad, okay, in several of the pictures, is shown with an aspect ratio of 1.3. Okay, now, aspect ratio is basically the size, it's kind of like the size of the screen. You know, wide screens have a different aspect ratio than regular square screens and that kind of stuff. Now, what they're saying is, for instance, let me look up my numbers here. I'm actually looking at the filing, and let me tell you, lawyer speak sucks. Man, making head or tails of this thing is ridiculous. Okay.
What was that word?
What word?
What was the word that Jay kept using, remember?
No. Well,
oh, it was such a lawyer-y word.
Facilitate.
Facilitate.
Yeah, use a big word.
Facilitate our needs and facilitate.
Used it like 8 times in a phone call.
It sounded pro.
It did. Anyway, let's see here. In the pictures,
she did read it.
In the pictures that the suit people, you know, who knows who got hold of all this information, but the pictures that are actually in the report show both of these devices with a 4.3. aspect ratio. I mean, the screens are almost identical, and looking at them side by side in these pictures, it looks like a blatant patent ripoff. However, the issue is that the Galaxy Tab doesn't have a 4x3 aspect ratio. It has a 16x10 that is much more narrow. It's, yeah, well, if you look at them side by side, it's obvious in the real world. However, these pictures are distorted just enough to where it looks like both these tablets are the exact same size. Not the case.
Okay, I'm looking at these tablets right now. They do not look like the same size.
Are like, you looking at
non-altered pictures?
Oh, okay,
non-altered
yeah.
Pictures?
The non, that's the thing. The non-altered different. Pictures, they don't look the same size because the Galaxy Tab is actually much thinner than the iPad is. And that's what gives it its 16x10 aspect ratio of a wide screen. Now, if you look at the actual filing pictures, they look like they are the same size, but it's just a matter of transforming the pictures and just changing the size of the tablets that would change screen size and aspect ratio and everything like that. So it's one of those things where you'd like to think they didn't do it on purpose, but I mean, from a company who created something like the iPad, who doesn't do anything by accident, according to them, I have to say they probably knew this was happening and just thought, oh, well, it's better to apologize than ask permission. So, yeah, foul play is afoot, and hopefully Apple's not trying to stifle the market simply for sake of stifling the market. That would be bad news for everybody.
They're already rich enough.
Exactly. All right. If you have a HTC phone...
You can always be richer.
Oh, yeah. You can never be, what is it? Never be too rich, too well-armed, or no, too rich, too dead, or too well-armed. I forget what movie that's from, but it is a movie.
Probably a horrible one.
More likely, because it's me.
Lord of War with John Cusack, or War with...
War Inc., you mean?
Yeah, War Inc. or whatever.
I like
that. Love that movie.
The Lord of War was Nick Cage.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what that one is.
It's probably something like that. You know, one of those horrible movies that Jesse loves.
Yeah, well, you know. Anyway, if you have an HTC phone and you have a locked bootloader, which means you can't change the ROM or root it or anything like that without going through some sort of computer voodoo, HTC has made good on their promise that they had a couple months ago where they said that they would start to sell phones with unlocked bootloaders as well as unlock bootloaders on some of their previously released devices. In outside of the U.S., they have released their online bootloader unlock tool for several different phone models. Now, the thing is, they all have different names, so I'm not going to really worry about reading too many of them off because you really wouldn't know what they were anyway in the U.S. Also, a lot of the U.S. versions of these phones are not compatible yet. They are, quote-unquote, being tested for stability. that really probably just means...
My phone's called the Inspire in America and the Desire in Europe.
Exactly.
But they decided that the Desire HD is what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they didn't like that it was a sequel of another phone. Second, they thought it was too sexual in nature of a name for a phone.
Yeah. And
so they have ridiculous reasons for changing names, so I can only imagine getting into that.
Exactly. So I'm not even going to worry about it. But the thing is that these tested for stability issues that they're saying is really a sideways way of saying delayed by the carriers. I'm almost positive, because the carriers don't want you to be able to change this much stuff. I mean, come on. I mean, you root your phone and automatically you can get free tethering with very little problem at all and little to no knowledge of how to do it. There are walkthroughs all across the web. If you're able to upgrade your ROM whenever you want, I mean, come on. That means that you could have a new phone every day. We don't want that. We want you to be stuck with the same phone for 18 months until we force you to sign another 2-year agreement to get a new phone. See how that works? So, hopefully this tool will come to the U.S. very shortly. HTC has made good on their promise everywhere else, so we don't have any reason not to believe they'll make good on their promise here in the U.S. On a similar note, if you have an HTC Evo 3D or the HTC Evo 4G like I do, up until recently, if you had the brand new model of the 4G and pretty much any model of the 3D, you had a locked bootloader. You couldn't change anything on the phone. You couldn't, you know, new ROM, root, any of that stuff. Well, there is a group of people. They were rooting the Evo back when I first bought it. It was a fantastic way of rooting. One button click, done. This one is a little bit more complicated and is still in its beta stages, so it's kind of a use-it-your-own-risk thing. But the people over at revolutionary.io have released their NAND unlock tool, which unlocks the bootloader, allows you to do anything you want to your phone. For the Evo 3D, they released that a month ago. And now, they have recently upgraded it to include the Evo 4G. That was a big thing for me. I just ran it on my phone yesterday, rooted it. This morning, I had a new ROM on my phone, and it is back to its beautiful bliss. If you're feeling lucky and you have an Evo who that's locked down, go ahead and head over to revolutionary.io, download their tool. You can find a lot of the information that you'll need online on how to root your phone with it. I am working on an article and a walkthrough on how to use it, so look for that to be up a little bit after this podcast airs, and hopefully that'll help you get started in the whole rooting scene. All right. Well, guys, that's all I have for my tech section. So we're going to go to a real quick break. When we come back, we'll have some gaming news, because there's a couple different exciting little bits happening in the game world.
Then not we'll, much, just a little bit.
But they're exciting things, because they save money. And then we'll hit a couple things. And then we'll hit some movie and TV news. So
Mothra doesn't wear pants.
Really? Nice.
What were we talking about?
I don't know. I lost my train of thought with doesn't wear pants.
What do pants have anything to do with this?
Did you say Mothra? Anyway, join us after the break. Hopefully Brandon will have his thoughts picked up off the floor and gathered into a slightly intelligible pile.
Quick break.
It is called a quick break. It's called a quick break for a reason because it's quick. Why did
I call that for a reason?
I use W's for every single QU in that sentence.
It's called a quick break for a reason.
It's called a quick break for a reason.
I don't know why. Is that like an Irish person? Because Irish people
it's just a wee little break.
All Irish people have speech impediments.
Yeah, obviously.
I didn't know that.
Okay. We got gaming news. Let's hit it.
Okay, we're going to go through something. We're going to go through some very quick things. So, guys, don't interrupt me. for basically gaming, I would say Google Plus or G Positive or whatever we're going to call it, and Facebook, they're doing some things with games.
It's the G-Paws.
G-Paws? G-Paws is launching a game channel. They are officially doing so. So have fun with your Farmville on G-Paws. And then Facebook is looking to overhaul their game channel and reduce spam. So if this means less messages to me to join some pirate game, awesome. And now Gamefly is going digital with the PC game rental service, which I'm guessing is a digital download of things, and they expire much like the digital downloads on the rentals for iTunes. If you have any experience with that. Australia is getting an adults-only game rating, finally. It's going to be called MA15+, and it's intended for those 15 or over. So that lands somewhere between teen and T and M, but considering what they have now, which is not much, this is good news for those trying to get the more mature games, and it might help with some censorship, so they won't be as censored in the future.
Crikey.
Yes, crikey. Oh, I'm sorry, R18+ is what it's called. 15+ is their mature one, which is, it used to be their most mature game setting. Now they have R18, and that's going to be, I don't know, it looks like a very dirty, like, adult rating system, and not a video game rating, but I'm sure I'll get used to seeing that. So, if any of you ever moved to Australia, you can get your mature games now. Maybe.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah, better than nothing. So, there's a couple new trailers out. There's a Mr. Freeze trailer for Arkham City. There's a new trailer for the Gunzerker class for Borderlands 2, but it's a very teaserish trailer. Not much to it. Most of the sites are complaining it's a big tease, so there you go. There's also some artwork and screenshots from Borderlands 2 that are coming out. So, both two games that are going to have a stereoscopic 3D. One of them will be Gears of War 3 and Arkham City. So if you are one of those 10 people that do have a 3D TV, you will be able to play Arkham City in 3D. Fun. And,
Now I can have headaches in the comfort of my own home.
Yay! Now, two big things. The money-saving one. Sony is announcing that the PS3 is going to have a price cut in all territories on both PS3 models.
Still won't buy it.
If you're not familiar with the two models, the 160GB will now be $250. The 320GB is now going to be sold for $300, which I'm not sure. Is it, what are they now, like $350 and $300?
I believe so.
So they're dropping $50 on each. Now, there's going to be some infamous 2 bundle for the 320GB model, so that's going to be a limited edition thing for the PS3. I don't know. I probably won't be getting one. I'll just borrow my friend's, to be honest.
I already got one.
I don't know. I'm getting a new 360 next month when Gears of War comes out. So there you go. Speaking of, I am getting the new model for Gears of War 3. Now, that's probably going to be a matte finish because of the design on it. Now, that being said, the black ones, the new slim lines, is that what you even call them? The new slim models are glossy or black matte. Well, they're going to quit making the glossy ones. So,
boo.
The 360 is going to go forever black matte, and no more white, matte.
This is where Jesse and I split. I like black matte. I like matte. I like the solid color, no shine, doesn't leave a lot of fingerprints. I like that look.
And I'm of the train of thought where if you are worried about fingerprints on your glossy gadgets, stop molesting them. They belong in your entertainment center. Don't touch them.
I mean, seriously, what do you touch on a 360? You, on these new ones, you slide your finger across the power button, you slide your finger across the open disk button.
Well, I don't know. It's I don't like shiny anyway. I kind of like the flat look, the way the light hits it.
Boring. Brandon's a boring
technology
gamer.
Technology is supposed to be shiny. It's supposed to have glares and blind you.
I should have J.J. Abrams style lens flare every time I turn on my 360.
I'm sure that there's probably going to be some glossy 360s out there somewhere for a while. And maybe the special editions they come out with, they might make them glossy depending on the design. But as far as the regular 360s go, in the future, you will only be getting matte finish, which,
dun, dun, dun.
I don't know. I'm getting one that will have red and black and these big designs on it, so I'm not even going to notice
red
if it's
black
or mossy. Matte or glossy. So it'll be special and make chainsaw noises. Now, I did not be able... I think the... I could be wrong, but I think the 360, the Star Wars 360s that are coming out, I think those will be glossy. But I could be completely wrong on that. Either way, they're going to be white and blue. Yeah, that controller is that real gold color, so that'll be glossy. But I'm not sure about the 360, the R2-D2 360 itself.
They would almost have to make that shiny.
I think it will be.
Is R2 actually really shiny, though?
Well, I don't think it's the fact of whether
he's... In the 1-3 he was, because he was supposed to be a new model or something.
Well, I don't think it's the fact of whether or not he's shiny as much as it is the fact that if they don't do it as a gloss, then they'll have to make it into the plastic as opposed to painting them, and that would be more expensive.
Yeah.
So they'll probably make it as a gloss just to save on cost. They'll take a matte 360... Yeah, they'll take a matte 360, paint it, gloss it over, and put it on the shelf.
Yeah, I think the pictures I've seen, they look glossy. So, I don't know. We'll see. But they're a limited edition thing, so they probably won't care. They're not going to keep producing those. And that's all for game news. You can check the site for the Skyrim character screenshots. I put those on there.
Awesome.
They're interesting. They look like they're characters, but they've really beefed some of them up and made them more human, if that makes sense.
Good news. All right, Brandon, you want to tell us what's on your sheet for today? I hope you brought enough to share with the rest of us.
Where do I start? It has been a slow week for, geek entertainment news as far as movies and comics go. I'll start with in the comic world. In the comics, right now, the big thing is that they announced they showed the first image of Hawkeye's new costume, which is more similar to what they would be showing in the movie. It's pretty basic. I mean, it's like a black jumpsuit with some purple designs on it, and he's got some sunglasses on. I don't mind the costume change with the short sleeves and getting rid of the weird chainmail and everything. That looks fine. The costume looks great, actually. I like it. And I don't mind him not wearing a cowl anymore. The cowl made sense if you know about Hawkeye in the past, because he has a hearing disorder. He can't hear properly. So, and the cowl was actually listening devices so he could hear better. So it made more sense when you think about it like that, but it had the goofy Wolverine-style fins on it, which I never liked anyway. So in this new one, it's like these weird sunglasses, which I don't like. I wouldn't mind him wearing a headset or something that wrapped around his eyes and ears, but just the eye things, it looks goofy. He looks like he's from the 90s, where a costume design was, let's wear some sunglasses, that's a costume. You know, it was horrible. But there's a lot of people going either way on the new Avengers lineup, which Hawkeye is a part of. I did an article on that. You can go to the site and look it up and tell me what you think about a perfect Avengers team. But did you guys get a chance to look at the new Hawkeye costume, and what did you think?
I agree with you on the sunglasses thing. I mean, it's I've always
if his vision is what's important because he's shooting an arrow.
Yeah.
I understand if they're like some digital
exactly
glasses,
yeah.
But sunglasses would limit your sight.
Yeah, you would think so. That's what I. That's immediately what I thought, is that this guy's trying to shoot, and he's trying to shoot an arrow with welding glasses on. Why would you be trying to do that? You need every little bit of sight you can get. Now, once again, if they are some kind of digital targeting computer or something, then it might be useful.
But then he needs like an ear thing as well.
Yeah.
Because of his hearing disorder, and it kind of gives him the tactical look.
Exactly. And then, you know, I mean, they make like, if you put it to real world thing, the Oakleys have those glasses with the...
shades.
Yeah, they have the little, well, they're just their Oakley sunglasses, but they have an MP3 player in them, so then they go in your ears too. I might be the only person in the world who ever looked at those and wanted them, but so it could be something like that where it does both. It's a targeting computer type deal, and like they go over his ears and then into his ears to help the hearing disorder. If that's how they work, then okay.
They look like those sunglasses or those tiny glasses things you're supposed to put on when you go to a tanning booth. That just cover like your eyes and then the
yeah,
of your nose
I thought
to
that
minimize
very
tan lines. That's what they look like.
Yeah, they're yellow and they're roundish, very buggy. I don't like it. But we'll see. You know what? I didn't like the new Captain America design, and he stayed Captain America for about a year or so. Well, no, longer than that even, before that one, you know, got taken care of. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. That's it in comic news, though. I mean, there's barely any comic news that came out. There's been some spoilers, and not even spoilers, some teasers, I mean, of there's going to be three X-Men teams, apparently, one led by Wolverine, one led by White Queen / Emma Frost, and one led by Sebastian Shaw, which was the Kevin Bacon character in the X-Men First Class movie. So, but, I mean, there's really nothing. It's just been so slow in the comic news industry right now. In movie news industry, it's even slower. Because I'm sure there's news about movies that we don't care about. But as far as geek movies, it's like Eddie Murphy's going to be the voice of Hong Kong Fooey, and they're doing one of those live-action, mashup, horrible movies. Mm. And Eddie Murphy's going to be Hong Kong Fooey,
like,
but it's like...
Like what they did with Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, and Garfield and stuff, which I don't... I don't know. That's a rumor right now is how they're doing it, but I don't know. You know, they could... He could be his own thing. So, I don't know. I don't get what they're doing with that. But it's Eddie Murphy doing cartoons again. yeah. There's a... They've shown a new vehicle in The Dark Knight Rises. And people right now, it's funny because if you look at it, you can't tell what the hell it is. It looks like a mess of black panels.
Yeah, I thought the same thing when I was looking at Catwoman or who was supposed to be Catwoman. But anyway, go on.
Yeah. Well, people are like, I think it's the Batwing. And some people are like, I think it's a Batcopter. And they're like, it's some type of flying device or hover device that is designed similarly to the Tumbler, the Batmobile of this realm, I guess.
Yeah.
So, but people are confused on what it even is. So it's kind of funny. But, I mean, Batman has everything anyway. So he has a boat, he has a jet, he has, you know, so we'll see what happens. But if you get a chance,
it looks like an origami sculpture.
Yeah, doesn't it? It's weird, really weird. It's not a good design. I mean, the Tumbler, I think, is kind of goofy looking anyway.
Yeah.
But
at least it looked functional and you knew what it did. You looked at it and go, hey, you can drive that thing.
Yeah, you're like, that kind of looks
like a car. That I'm just looking at a picture of now what they call the Batwing. It looks like something that belongs in an abstract sculpture garden.
Yeah, it's very strange. And my final bit of news is that there's going to be an Austin Powers 4. And Mike Myers has signed on for Austin Powers.
Is it going to be about his son or something? Because Austin, he's getting kind of old. No offense, Mike Myers, I love you, but...
See, they kind of set it up so Austin Powers 3, they really couldn't do a 4. By making, you know, linking them as brothers and setting everything up like that. But in this new one...
A prequel, though.
Well, no, if you remember correctly, the movie ended with Scott becoming evil.
Oh, that's right.
So Scott, Seth Green's character, would be the new Dr. Evil.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Evil could be dead. Dr. Evil could be just working as an intelligence person for Austin. Yeah, right now they're rumoring that it's going to have Austin's son in it that he didn't know he had. So then the son's going to be just a little bit older or a little bit younger than Scott. And I don't know if Mini-Me will return. We don't know if Fat Bastard will return. We don't know what females are going to return. We really know nothing.
Well, they can do an all-new female character. They can't really do a whole new Mini. I don't know. I like Mini-Me, so I hope that guy, Vern, is that his name?
Vern Troyer, yeah.
Yeah, he probably needs money, so I hope he does it.
Yeah, he needs money. He does like, cash in the gold commercials now.
Oh, seriously?
Gold in the cash, not right. But,
oh.
Yeah. That's the exciting stuff that happened in movies right now, so you can just imagine how incredibly slow it's been.
Mm.
Ooh, exciting.
I'm done.
What movie news did...
As Austin Powers would say, and I'm spent.
And I'm spent.
We should mention that the new Thundercats, I started watching it. Surprise, surprise, is actually incredibly good.
Yeah, it's been on for 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's actually good, so you should
it
all
It is really good. I watch it. I like it. I really liked it. The first episode was a bit slow in parts,
but it picked up.
The second episode kind of showed you their idea of how they're going to play things through, which is very, you know what it reminds me of a lot? Gargoyles from the 90s.
Gargoyles.
And Gargoyles could go action, and then it could go
drama,
like straight story and drama. So, you know, as long as they keep up a good balance in Thundercats,
I mean,
think
they're setting up, they're making characters, and they're really driving the characters' personalities home. And we didn't get all the characters introduced episode one, which I love. Panthro just joined, which is great. So, and that's not even everybody. There's still more Thundercats for them to meet up with. So, but anyway, that's the news.
Okay. Alrighty. Well, I guess then we are wrapping it up. Brandon, if you want to go ahead and tell people how they can follow and or stalk you.
Well, you can always find me on Twitter. I'm at BrandoCop. I've been actively using Twitter again. I'm trying to get back in the groove. So follow me and watch me fall off the wagon.
And
you can get a hold
people,
of me.
For people who think up? That... For people who think that Brandon is a cop because he has Brando Cop in his name, he's not.
Yeah, I'm not a cop. Matter of fact, because of the constant mistaken identity where people follow me because they think I'm a cop, and then they stop following me because I'm not a cop, I'm looking at changing my name sometime in the future. It'll be announced on the podcast, so it's no big deal.
Yeah.
And
if you follow him, then it's not a big deal either. So there you go.
Say that again?
If you're already if you're already being followed, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it'll change.
Just keep following you.
Exactly. Other than that, let's see. You can get a hold of me in my email. I'm Brandon@8daysgeek.com. And you'll be seeing me all over the place soon because I did the interviews for Wizard World, so there's going to be a ton of stuff coming up this week about Wizard World. I know we didn't mention anything in this podcast about it. But you'll be seeing it this week as it goes along, the tons of cosplay, the tons of stuff we did. I mean, it was a ton of work. So, enjoy it.
Very much so. Lots of work. I think it's the hardest work I've done for months. All right. Now, Rachel?
You can find me on Twitter. My name is @cautiontape, all one word, spelled correctly. I probably won't be changing my name because, I don't know, that's my current name claim on the internet. Not that it's very, I'm not very popular, but, you know. So if you find a caution tape on the site, it's probably me. Then there is, what's my email? Oh, yeah, rachel@8daysgeek.com. And then you can also get a hold of me on the, Facebook page, and well, you can email just the general 8 Days of Geek email too. I think it goes to all of us, so I'm easy to get a hold of. Just, you know, put a little effort into it.
All right, and as always, you guys can reach me. Jesse@8daysofgeek is the email address. And if you'd like to find me on Twitter, it is @PenOfDoom. I don't plan on changing that very often either. However, for all of you people out there registering Pen of Doom on random sites that I'd like to get into, stop it. I found a couple.
Yeah, same for me. I can't get caution tape on other sites. I have another name that I've chosen for that, but...
Yeah, it didn't start happening until I started this site, so knock it off. Anyway.
You've gotten too popular.
I guess so. Why don't you throw me some of that popular money, and then I'll let you register for whatever you want. Anyway, also, if you'd like to text or leave us a voicemail, the 8 Days a Geek voicemail line is 754-273-6397.
What's the number again?
It is 754-273-6397. For all of you people who are at Wizard World and are commenting about your photos, if you do listen to our podcast, send in. Tell us about your costumes. It'd be great to hear it from the voice of the people who are actually wearing them. And frankly, as many people as were there pushing us around and frankly just being loud, we don't get to ask many questions about how you made them. So we can't interview everyone, but if you leave a voicemail, we will play it. Just tell us who you were.
Voicemail, text, email, anything like that.
Just tell us who you were and how you made it. That'd be awesome. All right. I went ahead.
Awesome.
That'd be awesome sauce. I went ahead and claimed the quote for today because, well, first of all, I'd like to put a thanks out to Chops.
Chops.
He might not know who he is, but he's a Wizard World volunteer. He made our day.
Chops. Is it what he said?
No.
That wasn't the picture the guy I saw doing his job way too seriously, was
yeah.
it?
Yeah, no,
yeah,
it
that's
was.
Chops. Chops has amazing mutton chops and is awesome. Yeah. Chops was involved in the incredibly disorganized line setup that was at Wizard World. And I thought this would be a good quote to put right above the door, right before you got in line. That is a quote from Dante. Abandon hope, all ye who enter here.
And to quote Chops, I don't get paid for this job, so it's not a job, but I love this con!
All right. So, go ahead, go to our YouTube channel at 8... I believe it's just 8 Days a Geek if you search YouTube. We'll be putting some YouTube videos up from Wizard World, and you know what? We're here next week, too. So, and the week after that, and probably the week after that. And, you know, well, just come back every week and listen to everything we have to say, because we're important and our opinions matter.
People think I'm somebody.
Say goodbye,
whenever I get my new Gears of War 360, I'll even do a mini review for you. It'll probably just be me turning it on and off, but hey, something else on there.
It's video. All right, guys, go ahead and say goodbye.
Adios.
Bye.
See ya, Chops.
To the chain gang.
What are you chewing on your microphone?